So let's start with a minute silence. So until I saw Kailash reaching here, I never believed that this talk would happen because she had problems with the sciatic nerve. She got well, she got a relapse. She was assured by the doctor yesterday evening that she could come and told her not to cancel the talk. Still she had problem today. Jaya helped her out. I suppose she's still in pain. But the lady is unique, as you are going to see, not only because of the kind of work that she did with the mother, with UNESCO and the United Nations, but also as a SADC. So she always trusted the mother, and it's not the first time that she ran severely in trouble physically. And once it happened that she had a disastrous fall in Paris when she was about to meet the deputy director of UNESCO, Dr. Adishesha, she just prayed the mother, and when the moment came, she just showed up as if nothing has happened. So I suppose that this is exactly what's happening even now. The other thing is that I've been knowing Kailash for many years, but unless I read the book that she wrote, I had no idea about the type of work she did and interacting with the major world personalities. Just knowing vaguely whom they were, but without having even a clue that she was really dealing often with the geniuses of the world, and particularly Dr. Adishesha. So to me, to read that book that I asked at the Auroville Library was a complete discovery. And the book is a jewel, not only for all the documentation regarding the work she did for UNESCO, at the end also with the United Nations, but also from the point of view of a sadhana. It just goes back to the years of the great sadhaks, this total surrender to the mother. So she was appointed by the mother, the secretary in charge of UNESCO, but in fact, she had no office, no desk, no typewriter, nothing, not even the money to go to Delhi or to Paris. So miraculously, everything always got arranged. And then she would show up, and I think it was the strength was her innocence. Interacting with these huge, huge personalities. And I started to do myself research on internet, because certain names echoed in me, and I felt that they were giants. And for example, this Dr. Four, that at a certain point he wrote a report, which is known as Report Four, and it was between a commission, an UNESCO commission, between 1970 and 1972. To give you an idea, this report has been translated in 33 languages, and even now is being reprinted. And Four had been twice the prime minister of France. And he was a radical in his youth and a partisan. And afterwards, he participated to all the ministries. And that's why I remember the name. When De Gaulle ran into heavy trouble because of May 68, he called Four to help him out, and he became the minister of culture and education. So Four, at a certain point, sent this report to Kailash asking her feedback. And Kailash told me that the book was very good, and she gave to the archives, because even now she was not aware that she was really dealing with the top personalities in the world. And the other particularity of Kailash, only twice in my life I came across something like this. The first one was Roger. So that you see a person who looks like anybody else, but then when Roger was started talking about Auroville, it was like a cassette, I could hear the mother. The same thing happened with Kailash. When she started talking on human unity, because this was the reason why originally she joined UNESCO, I mean the United Nations, and she lived and worked more than 10 years in New York. And at that time, she strongly believed in the Charter of UNESCO and of the United Nations. And then somebody showed to her the ideal of human unity. When she was already in a crisis, because she started already to understand that what she was looking for could not come through the United Nations. Then she fully embraced the book, The Ideal of Human Unity, and when she started writing, I very often feel that it's her Aurobindo writing. And so she wrote immensely for the UNESCO, for the United Nations, for the World University of Human Unity, for the Cultural Pavilion. She stood from the beginning also for the town and not accepting to surrender to a big, big project which was called Habitat, where the UNESCO itself would have given a lot of money, but Kailash discussed the thing with the mother, saying it has to be the opposite. They have to come to us for help and not us going there and asking them for help. And there have been resolutions passed by UNESCO, and behind was Kailash working out. There were interviews of Dr. Adi Shesha, and behind was Kailash at a certain point writing all the questions with a very famous interviewer who accepted blankly to read exactly the question that Kailash had written without changing a comma. So when I see her, in fact, I see the mother working through her. And it's quite unique because in all these years, she never told me anything. I just discovered reading the book. So now going back to the subject, UNESCO is a very, very big topic. So she had been asked what she wanted to talk about, and she decided to start with the university and the cultural pavilion, so also because it was a demand for these things. It should be said that she entered into this picture in 1969 when there was a first resolution by the United Nations appealing to the UNESCO and the state members of UNESCO to come forward with this international university. And then there was a second resolution by the United Nations passed in March 1970. But before that, there was a big project which Kiri told me was drafted by him, and it is a project in 1967 for the United Nations and particularly the UNESCO. So at the time, Kailash was not informed. So this project is very detailed, it's 33 pages. I've sent around to quite a few people. If there are other people interested, I can send around. I can tell you that the project was supposed to be completed by Mother Centenary year and date. That means February 21st, 78. By the way, it was the same date that the Matrimandi was expected to be completed. There were 12,000 students. And when the project was completed, the campus should have been hosting 30,000 people in the cultural zone. So you must understand that when we deal with this international university coming through the United Nations and UNESCO, it's always related to this big project. So at that time, in 67, the government of Madras, on behalf of UNESCO, was contacting Auroville, asking whether they were interested in coming forward with this university, and the reply was yes. That's why this project was drafted. And I stop here because now it is Kailash who will tell you what happened afterwards.
Well, thank you for introducing me. I don't know if I accept all that you said, but I personally feel that I could not have done anything better than what the mother and Sri Aurobindo had done. So when I was asked to write a project report on Auroville University for Human Unity, I didn't know what I would do. Navjot told me the papers were lying on his desk for a long time and the deadline was approaching and little more than 2 weeks were remaining. He had called his committee members, of which Roger, Andre, Anjani Dayanand and many other were the members, and they discussed about what Auroville University could be like. And they had several ideas which they reported to the mother. The mother gave her blessings. And when Navjot asked me, I said, what can I do in 2 weeks? I said, you don't worry about it. People have asked questions and mother has okayed them. I'll send you all those papers. I said, Bhaiji, I don't know if I can work on that basis. He said, yes, yes, you can. You try. So I tried. And I don't remember anything that was sent to the mother or approved by the mother, but I sent a sort of report. And when the report was read to the mother was furious, angry. She threw the papers. Who has asked her to write this report? And when I was told this, I was shaken to my bones. I was crushed to pieces. I felt I was nothing. I can do nothing. And I was in a tremendous stress because I was given the work to work with UNESCO for Auroville and I could do nothing. And for 2 days, I couldn't sleep, nor eat, nor do anything, but just go to the samadhi and pray. And I prayed to the Lord, Lord, you can help me. And you wouldn't believe, but this is true. Even to this day, I remember the Lord came to my help. My hands touched the book and opened to the pages required, and guidance was given. And I wrote the paper. All in the words of the mother and Sri Aurobindo. And that time, I sent the paper to the mother through Purna Prema, mother's granddaughter. And I gave a synopsis because it was a long paper of 27 pages. And I said what the paper contained. Mother had read out the synopsis. Then mother asked her to go further and read the whole paper. And the whole paper of 27 pages was read to the mother while all the VIPs of the ashram were waiting outside. And when it was read, she said, "Se très, très bien. Kailas, you can send this to UNESCO." And I took my breath. That mother was happy with me. But the paper contains nothing of me. I mean, connecting sentences, a few ideas here and there. It's all in the words, I mean, mostly in the words of the mother and Sri Aurobindo. But at that time, the project of university was in the air. And I also felt that what a nice thing it would be if the World University for Human Unity could be in Auroville. Auroville is a town of the future, the city of the future. And I worked very enthusiastically, telling all that the United Nations and specialized agencies had done to achieve human unity. And they had failed, naturally, because man is not a machine. He cannot be trained by the machinery of laws, social, economic, political, nor by education. The soul has to awaken, because human unity can be realized by no other means but by the awakening of the soul. And that is the gist of this paper. It traces the attempts briefly made by the international agencies, pointing out their shortcomings and giving the only solution that is offered by Sri Aurobindo. And now I feel whether we need a university. Man himself has to change. University cannot change us. They can give the direction as to where the solution lies. But the effort has to be made by ourselves. Finding the soul, because the soul comes from the divine. Everyone is a portion of the divine. Everyone can feel one with the soul of the other. Everyone is destined to fulfill a particular role in his life. And our roles may be different, but they are complementary roles. Each one is needed. And I personally feel that basically we may say Auroville is education. For Auroville is a world university. All the projects, all the researches that can take place anywhere can take place in Auroville. Auroville is open to the whole of humanity. And nowhere can a person find the conditions required to fulfill his objective. Because Auroville can be fulfilled only on the basis of truth. No other basis. And each one has to make that search within. So I said that the educational future of the world is bound up with the growing city of dawn, Aurobindo, where a new consciousness is to be variously educed. Education is not something that one acquires from outside. It is educed from the potentiality of a human being. It is within us. And the cultural pavilions serves the right background for the diverse opinions, ideologies, diverse truths of the world. Each nation represents a particular aspect of the whole. And this paper on Auroville University is not mainly as a university, but as an educational place for realizing human unity. The aim of Auroville is human unity, realization of human unity. And the mother once said, that I expected people to have made this search before coming to Auroville. That is inner discovery. But she accepts in her laboratory all of us as we are and gives us an opportunity to make this search. There is a guidance given by the mother and Sri Aurobindo. She never imposed any rules on anyone, nor her guidance. She gave it. And we may accept it or not accept it. We may come to the realization of the truth behind it later. I have myself in my life had once asked something to the mother, and mother gave me the guidance. And though I accepted the mother as the divine mother, I believed in her completely. A slight question was raised in my mind. Does she know me perfectly? And over the years, I realize the truth of her guidance. She is the mother. She knows us perfectly. She knows the problem even before we place it before her. And this is my experience, that she is the Maheshwari, the divine mother, who knows us in every detail. And this is my experience. I had my experience of the mother in all her four aspects, as Maheshwari, as Mahakali, as Mahasaraswati, and as Mahalakshmi. And she gave me the experience of Mahakali so severely because I had asked for it. I said, Mother, be Kali with me. Do not spare me, but mold me in the image of thy vision. And she took the chance. As I said, the cup had to be emptied before it could be filled with the light and the delight. So, I don't know why I have been called to give a talk on Auroville University for human unity. All is given by the Mother and Sri Aurobindo in their books. And what I have done is only compiled the material. Sri Aurobindo says, a perfected world cannot be created or composed by men who are themselves imperfect. And that perfection lies within our reach. I may not have realized it. Many may not have realized it. But it is possible to open ourselves to that higher consciousness and ask for guidance. And the guidance comes. But our mind must be silent, quiet, ready to receive it, not arguing with this and that of our views or our thinking. And I am not a person who can write a paper on university. But I was given the guidance as to what is required to realize human unity. And Mother also says, that the conditions under which men live are the results of their states of consciousness. And to seek to change the conditions without changing the consciousness is a vain chimera. Religion gives us instruction, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Do we accept it? We have to grow through our experience to the level when we are ready to follow the direction. And how do we do it? Well, Sri Aurobindo gives a very powerful message. What the destiny of man is. He says, what is the intention of nature in us, to realize in us? He says, to be or to transcend and become something, or to bring something high and noble into our being is the whole labor of the force of nature. We are satisfied with ourselves as we are. We have certain ideals we follow. When others don't follow, we quarrel. Without looking into ourselves where our fault is. Mother says when two persons quarrel, both are right and both are wrong. Now, do we look into ourselves to find what has caused this dispute? No. Even, I mean, I have an example. I have quarreled with my servant. And I said, you don't have intelligence? She said, Ma, if I had intelligence, I wouldn't be working for you. I would be earning my own money. Now, I learned from it that the poor thing had no facility. Her circumstances were such, she couldn't be educated. And I was wrongly angry with her. But many times we don't look into ourselves where the fault lies. I felt very sorry that I uttered those words. And such examples come time and again. Whenever there is a difference of opinion, whenever there is a dispute, we find always the fault with the other person, not with ourselves. Now, man is composed of many different parts. Physical being, vital, emotional being, mental being, psychic being, spiritual being. And all the parts are not developed fully at the same time. Nor do they agree with each other. If my mind says some things, my body refuses to follow. Or my vital leads me in another direction. Now, Sri Aurobindo says, and everybody says, at UNESCO they say, man is a subject and object of all education. But what is man? Nobody has, well, pardon me if I am ignorant, but I have not come across, has given the analysis of the constitution of man so deeply and so fully as Sri Aurobindo. Man has his evolutionary past lying in the inconscient, in the subconscious. Man has a super future which leads him to the supramental being. Now, one cannot find the answer to the problems by the mental thinking alone. Mind is a divisive faculty. It accepts one view and not the other. And he says that only when you rise to the higher and higher level, up to the supermind, not even the overmind, the field of the gods, that there is no division. You see each one in his potential nature and unity with the others. It is not possible for a mind to think that the communism is right and the democracy is also right. Sri Aurobindo analyzes all these political isms in his book and gives the truth of each one and also the limitation of each one. So unless you go higher into the supramental world or receive at least its light coming, trickling down, you will not come out of the chaos. And so, I will read some few passages from Sri Aurobindo to guide what is needed to realize human unity. And do we need a world university or not? He says, to be or to transcend and become something or to bring something high and noble into our being is the whole labor of nature. To become complete in being, to be fully is to become complete in being, in consciousness of being, in force of being, in delight of being, and to live in its integrated completeness is the perfect living. To be fully is to be universally. You cannot become fully conscious or fully yourself till you are united with others. And all this implies that the function of the university in Auroville will not stop with providing conditions and facilities for the development of all the powers of one's being through the study of arts, humanities and sciences and the researches, but through them all and above all, the true function of this university will be to bring forth from the inner potentialities of the students a new creation, the creation of the divine race. And Auroville mother has said, the aim of Auroville is the realization of new creation. Our Auroville has a great role to play, but it cannot be played without looking into our inner being and bring out its potentialities to manifest.